Okay, let's talk politics and federal affairs. It is 6:52 and 6 degrees. Always a pleasure on a Monday morning to say good morning to Thomas Mulcair. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, John.
Okay, so the budget comes out tomorrow, and yep. I try to fake enthusiasm, but it is important. but they're making very much housing the centerpiece in all of this. I never thought, Thomas Mulcair, we would spend this much time talking about housing, but, you know, hey, it is a crisis.
Well, it is a crisis, but of course, who's been in power for the last 8.5 years to have caused that crisis? It's Mr. Trudeau. Last August, he was famously in Hamilton, and he had two things to say. This is not primarily federal responsibility. And then he used one of these $5 words that he loves to throw out there that he heard from somebody on his staff. The federal government doesn't have carriage of this file. You're scratching your head saying, how did that word make it in there? Poiliev had been doing an amazing job for nigh a year at that point of saying housing is a huge problem. Poiliev's deep information, they're deep polling. They have data sets that the other ones would die for, was showing that the 25 to 38 year olds, you know, that age group who would normally have been acceding to the middle class, what Mr. Trudeau talked about for 8 years, you know, the middle class and those working hard to join the middle class, they were going to be missing the main attribute of having attained the middle class despite good education and good jobs. They could not afford a home. And one of the reasons they couldn't afford a home, and don't get me wrong, this isn't about being anti-immigrant. It's about having an immigration policy that has no planning attached to it. And that's the biggest problem we've got. Last year, we welcomed a new Saskatchewan. And this year, we're going to welcome a new Manitoba in terms of the numbers that are coming into Canada with no planning for housing, no planning for healthcare, no planning for education. And yes, that is federal responsibility primarily, the number of people who come in and the planning that has to accompany it. Mark Miller's a very good immigration minister, by the way. He's probably the best we've had, and he's going to work hard to try to solve this. But this is clearly on Mr. Trudeau's doorstep. Now he's going to try to convince people that after 8.5 years of fumbling the file, in 8.5 months between now and perhaps the next election, he's going to have a fix for that file. And that's just not true. So what we're going to get tomorrow is some smoke and mirrors, promises, some blame by the feds for municipal authorities. Gee, I wonder who's been talking about gatekeepers and people who have been holding back housing. So all of this, I don't think that the Liberals realize just how much they're helping Poiliev. Poiliev's been basically standing back from this thing for the past couple of weeks, saying, go ahead, knock yourself out, saying that you're going to be fixing the problem you caused, and then I'll come back in and remind people that it's a problem you caused.
Yeah, I'm reminded. What is the famous quote? Never interrupt your opponent while he's...
Who's beating himself up.
Yes, exactly.
That's exactly it.
Okay. Some people are predicting we're going to be looking at some tax hikes in the budget tomorrow, and taxing the rich is never unpopular except amongst the rich.
Exactly. And what's interesting, because I think it's kind of safe to predict that with a 20% lead, the Conservatives have a darn good chance of winning the next election. I think that it should be recalled that when Trudeau came in, so he was elected at the end of 2015, his first budget, 2016, what did he do? He spent a lot more money than he had, big deficit. That was the beginning of $100 billion of deficit spending outside of the pandemic, before the pandemic hit. And he said, I'm going to raise taxes on the 1%. And he milked that for all it was worth. He looked at the progressive base, tried to scold the NDP, of which I was still the leader at that point, saying, oh, you're voting against my budget, therefore you're voting against tax hikes for the 1%. And our answer was, no, there's a lot of other stuff in there that we disagree with. And yeah, we're going to vote against your budget. But Trudeau was riding that horse and doing it very well. It was, you know, he was saying, I promise to be the progressive. Look at me. I'm taxing the rich. Now he's got to tax, because otherwise his so-called guideposts that he set down last fall in the economic statement won't hold. $40 billion deficit, that's the maximum. They're actually transforming that into, there will be no increase in the deficit. And when she says it, you're almost thinking, are they You know, have they balanced the budget somehow? No, no, no. For them, no increase is keeping it at only $40 billion, which is huge given all the deficit spending we've been through. But Trudeau's going to try to sell that as well. Freeland's been helping him. She's very smart. She does a good job on this stuff, and she'll do everything she can to try to sell this pig in a poke tomorrow. But people who are paying attention to it will just say, okay, you're still deficit spending up the wazoo, and now you're increasing taxes. So what's he going to hit? He's going to probably have a one-time or some, you know, hit against corporations who are just going to offshore even more of their money, and the super rich already do the same thing. So it's a bit of a mug's game. You know, sometimes taxing too much produces less results because people just say, okay, you're not taking 56% of my salary.
Okay, so where are we in the NDP's position on the carbon tax? Because, you know, when we last spoke, it seemed like Jagmeet Singh was walking away from it. And then over the weekend, while I was busy watching golf, apparently he moderated his stance. So where is the NDP and where are the Liberals?
Well, let me pull back one notch from the detail of it and give you my perception of what you just described as you were watching golf. I think that there must have been tremendous pushback from the membership base. I was reading some of the social media on this from longtime NDPers. One university prof, this is just a perfect example, who's been writing this stuff for years, was part of, you know, the biggest and most credible international groups on this, shared with me a letter that he had written to Singh, which was a simple WTF letter. It was like, really? So the NDP is now against putting a price on carbon, the only way that we've come up with in, you know, decades to actually start doing our part to reduce our greenhouse gases, you're now against it. So they started trying to walk it back, which just, of course, put a circle around the stain. And John, you can't bluff people who follow the details. And it's a very complicated file. But Trudeau has finally started doing the right thing with Stephen Guilbeau. They've held their own despite the blunder of letting the tax off on home heating oil in the Maritimes. They had to do it politically in their estimation. Now we were finally with a system that was going to reduce greenhouse gases, and now the NDP. Look, Jack Layton, I will always give him credit. He was a true environmentalist. He was a warrior against climate change. He had the best plans before the House. He worked hard on them. He even got one adopted once by the House of Commons, only to be overturned by unelected conservative senators. So Layton worked hard on this. I worked hard on it. I'm a former environment minister, and I simply was gobsmacked. I could not believe that Singh was walking back their otherwise solid position to fight climate change. I could not believe it.
Yeah, I have to say, it's one of the most cynical, yep, plainly political thing that I've seen in, yep, a couple of years.
Yeah, and the lines that they had invented for themselves often betray the lack of seriousness. And, you know, the person who's their critic, I think her name is Laurel Collins. She's from Victoria, BC, I think. And, you know, it was, well, you know, this isn't the be-all and the end-all. Actually, the fight against climate change is pretty existential. It's very serious, and it really, you know, it's going to affect future generations. So they're being squeezed from the left. Trudeau's going to be out there again, hawking his, you know, his increases in taxes for the super rich as his credential to talk to the more progressive voters in the next election. He's getting squeezed by Poilievre on the whole carbon tax file. They've got their polling numbers in the areas of Canada, you know, where you've got large resource extraction operations. The NDP is often popular there. They're looking at their numbers saying, we're going to get crushed in a bunch of ridings by the Conservatives. That's why a half a dozen people have said, bye-bye, I'm leaving. You know, from a 20-some-odd person caucus, that's a huge hit. And they just fumbled it completely. They just came up with this thing out of thin air. It looks bad. And now they're going to try to walk it back. It ain't going to work.
Thank you, sir. What a pleasure.
Great to talk to you.
Thomas Mulcair, former leader of the opposition in Ottawa.